Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Feeling good. Feeling ready for 5 hours.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of a slow news day right now.
A little bit.
Waiting for a Thursday news dump if there's going to be one,
you
right?
You think a Thursday news dump is coming?
No.
I don't think so either.
Because we're easing into the spot. This is how the week after the draft, this is always how it works, where like the first 2 days, it's just an onslaught of things that are just front and center. And then you get to Wednesday and it starts to slow a little bit. And we're settling into the summer sports groove here. That's what this week is about.
Yeah, it's so when Shedeur Sanders goes to another high school or another middle school, then we'll just be right on top of that then.
I actually like that, four days.
Who didn't like that?
There are people on Twitter
you
who
made it seem like people
it.
Didn't like that.
No, there are people on Twitter who, because I...
Maybe I'm just in the Shahive so much that all it was just a popularity contest left and right with Shedeur Sanders.
I think we gotta workshop that.
The Shahive? No, I'm pretty sure the way the game goes is I can throw Shah in front of anything and we make it work, right?
I mean, we threw it in front of Thomas's name earlier this week and we immediately had to dump it.
You guys dumped it. I'll let the record show. I was going to let that one ride.
You were gonna let it ride twice.
Twice. I doubled down.
Yeah.
Hit me. Double down.
Yeah. You hit on 20. That's what you did.
No ace popped up next.
Actually, no. You hit on 21. You were like, ah.
They're like, congratulations, you won the game. And I'm like, hit me. Let's keep this thing going.
No, so I've actually been really surprised. There's got to be like a Russian bot farm out there dedicated to just crapping on Shedeur.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say I'm hyping up Shedeur. I thought the Russian
sure
bot farm.
I'm sure there's that out there too.
Was going to be like the pro because I thought you were going to go down the path of like I don't know why he's so beloved and everything else attached to it. Yeah, there's got to be people. How do you see what happened yesterday and not just appreciate what he did?
Like, here's exactly what I tweeted. Again, it was Ricky Smith's tweet. It was two pictures of Shedeur talking to kids at the Cleveland Public John Marshall High School yesterday. I said, very cool to see Shedeur engaging local communities so quickly.
Yeah.
So it's just like, hey, this young man, we've all said some stuff about who he is on the football field, and there's been a lot of said about him, not necessarily by me or you or anybody on the station. There has been a lot said in the football community about who this kid is. Personally, let's give some flowers there. So we were saying it with our chest, right? That's what we were doing.
Say it with conviction.
I need 100 Cleveland men.
We know, Ken. We know. Not now. We're trying to do a radio show.
Maybe right now. He's not on air right now. But so I was just trying to throw out like, hey, man, this is really cool.
Legendary.
And so there was Martin saying this is really cool. Then Steven, photo op.
Photo op. He's like one of those politicians that show up in the area after the job is cleaned up and just like shakes hands and kisses babies. And it was just like all fraudulent.
Yep. Then we got somebody accusing him of only speaking to one kid instead of Terry saying child abuse should be illegal in schools.
That's so, child abuse. Shedeur Sanders' message is child abuse.
I can't say what this person is.
That's kind of funny.
Pandering.
It's mean, but it's kind of funny.
Pandering to Shador's crowd. Rajan saying, could anyone understand what he said? So, yes. What should have just been good for Shador. Proof, that's good though, for the Browns.
The kid, he can't buy a win with people, can he?
I mean, I think these are the Russian bot farmers. I don't think these are real people.
I
think it's Vladimir and Koskov, and they're just going ahead and saying stuff on Twitter to get people upset.
Like, there genuinely isn't anything else that he could just do that's good for the community, and get this type of response. It's crazy.
Which, what's crazy about it is he's done nothing illegal. For 3 years, if you said anything about Deshaun, you tweeted about Deshaun, somebody was going to have something to say in some sort of way, either in defense of him, either to denigrate him, either to denigrate you for saying something positive or negative about him. Understood it. That came part and parcel with what Deshaun was accused of, suspended for, and sued for.
Yep.
Totally made sense. Shador's biggest problem, I guess, is having a music career that people hate him so.
Which, as I told you a couple days ago, it's a hobby. You're going to get on the guy for having a hobby? I like to golf. Is that such a bad thing? Like, what you do in your free time shouldn't be the type of thing that people just rip you over.
That explains some of the tweets I get about you, where people are like, sure, he loves his job, but he golfs.
He golfs.
And I'm like, you got a point there.
Which is something I told them when I got this job. They're like, oh, man, that your golf, it's really going to have to take a back seat. And I'm like, I'll be fine being better at golf 25 years from now. We'll be okay.
Also,
who's good at golf?
This is actually the best spot to golf because you can get out to the links all the way from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., wrap up, even if it's just 9, and still be in by 12 or 1.
Yeah, the 2-year-old keeps me away from that, but when she gets to preschool or maybe kindergarten, maybe we get into that.
Did anyone say good luck on your golf game when you had her? Because that's the more appropriate.
That is the more appropriate response. Yeah, that's when you know it just is completely shot.
Ah, so you've had a kid. Good luck ever having a par again.
Yeah.
Now, while we talk about that, we'll get more to the Shahate later in the show.
See, you can put it in front of anything.
Well, see, that works.
Yeah, you can put it in front of
the
anything.
The Shahive, I don't know. It's giving me Shahives.
It's playing off the Beyonce, the Beehive. Not in the name of everything that is holy, Shador Sanders.
You mean the Beyhive?
You got it. I knew what it was.
I mean, you got to say it right. Otherwise, the Beyhive will...
It's another group that'll just come at you.
We'll attack.
It's another group that'll just
Shahive,
come at you. You never want to...
We've got a Beyhive, Shahive, Shasquabble.
Could he also do country music?
I don't think Beyonce could.
such a weird halftime show. But they tried to make it like a Super Bowl show, the Netflix.
Showing everybody. Yeah. I think she's showing herself.
Be careful though. Be careful.
Yeah.
The Beehive. They'll come after you. It's like saying something bad about Taylor Swift. Those people, they'll just come after you.
There's one of them that works in the building. One of the Tay Tay crazies. I don't know, what do we call her? The Swifties? Yeah.
The Swifties.
And I live with four of them. So
we got Chris Fedor on today. He's a Swiftie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Maybe we should try the Beehive stuff, like maybe denigrate Beyonce to Chris.
I think he got offered like $20,000 for his tickets that he had in Cincinnati and turned it down.
Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like $20,000. It was a large sum of money for the tickets he had, and he didn't regret it at all. But it's just a wild sum of money.
Did not realize that Chris was rolling in that kind of money. But, I mean, I guess he lives in a certain part of the West Side that I think makes a hell of a lot of sense.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. He doesn't regret it at all.
Once in a lifetime. It's a concert.
That's how I look at it. I'll get drunk and go sit on my deck and listen to Taylor Swift on Spotify and have just as good of a time.
You guys got to understand the pageantry and her changes for the costume. I mean, that's really worth giving up $20,000. We must have cost him about this at 4 when he joins us today. So I was thinking about this today, walking around, getting the kids ready for school. Just the idea of, one, the reaction to the Browns quarterback plan, and two, it, kind of putting this up against how the Browns, it kind of put it out there that how they were going to attack the quarterback position. Jimmy Haslam said it, I believe, first, saying we're not going to force it to the quarterback position. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry have since echoed those words leading into the draft. So when you start to look at the Browns quarterback position, it makes it even more interesting when you look at the results right now on 92.3 The Fan's Twitter poll. And it was just, who do Browns fans want to start at quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
And unsurprisingly, 1,000 votes in, Joe Flacco getting 47%, Shador Sanders getting 34.5%, and then Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel representing like Ralph Nader, if this was a presidential election, with respect to Ralph Nader. So I'll kind of ask you, I guess, I think we know who you want to start with one, yes?
Yeah, no, I think we know.
You might be surprised to find out that's probably close to where I am as well.
I am surprised by that, but I also think that comes with the idea that you don't like Kenny Pickett, and you have, you've made more jokes about Dylan Gabriel than I have.
That's true. So it really is, for me, it is the two, it is the populist votes here. It's between Joe and it's Shador. I just think if Shador wins this job, I think that's going to sell more hope at the start of the season for more people than Joe. And I think, listen, we can get into the bigger picture question here. The main objective is, can you get anything out of the young quarterbacks this year? That's right. What 2025
that's
is
That's got to be
me.
The focus. So we've disagreed with a lot over the previous 4 months, but we agree 100% when it comes to what the plan should be. It's amazing. You know, on Sunday, so I went on one of the shows with my friends in the desert, and they were like, they're trying to handicap the quarterback race.
Bots?
Yeah, those guys. Yeah. And I was trying to, they're like, so who's going to start? Terms? Who's going to start week one? And week one, I was like, well, I think it's going to be Flacco. And this is before Vegas came out with their own odds that had Kenny Pickett as the wide, wide favorite. And it's like, why did my brain instinctively think it was going to be Flacco into Shador Sanders?
Some of that might, it's just what you want to have happen.
No, I think we both know I want Shador Sanders to have a crack at it in all 17.
But I think you know it's probably improbable that one of the young guys, with the way they're going to split reps, that one of the young guys is going to steal a job from Joe.
I think it just looked like, again, and a lot of the conversation has changed and moved even in the couple days, but it looked like that was a way for the Browns to start off the season, and you have an experienced quarterback, and then you seem like you're, I don't know, put together if you have Joe Flacco out there, and then week four, week five, the wheels would fall off because they always fall off with Joe Flacco, and then at that point, the rookie quarterback would take over.
So is the Browns quarterback plan that they've actually put into action, these four quarterbacks, is this closer to forcing it or not forcing it the way that the Browns themselves said they weren't going to do in this draft?
Yeah, Nick, I don't think there's anything forcing at all. There's no forcing happening here.
Like, I mean, Dylan Gabriel was a little bit of forcing it.
Well, we can call that a luxury pick if you want. Is that a luxury pick? Maybe not even a luxury pick, but just a let's make Kevin Stefanski happy pick? Is that what we're calling that?
An appeasement pick?
An appeasement pick, sure. You want to say they reached on that one? I don't think anyone's going to disagree with you there. But the idea is they gave themselves a couple bites at the apple, and they gave themselves opportunities to have Stefanski show them that he can coach these guys, and he can get them to where they want to be. But as long as it doesn't move you off of 2026 in any sort of way from getting a quarterback, assuming that neither one of them take over and are awesome, then they didn't force anything.
There's a few different ways to look at it. I like the way you're looking at it. There was another way to kind of look at it, and I think we're going to get some friendly help to have this kind of perspective on it. 216-474-0092. That'll be coming up. We do have quick hits coming up at 2:40 today. We have a loaded show. Frank Schwab, NFL and sports betting for Yahoo Sports. We'll talk the Browns quarterback's plan. His thoughts on Shador at 3. We've got Chris Fedor, known Swiftie. Still can't believe anybody would turn down $20,000 for any sort of
tickets. We got to ask him what the number was. In my brain, it was somewhere between $10,000 to $20,000. Yeah. I don't think it cheapens the story if it's only 10 grand, though, but I'm pretty sure it was 10 to 20 grand.
Anything over double what you paid, it's hard to turn down.
When we're in the five figures territory, that's a lot.
But we'll talk with Fedor at 4. We got Todd Schrupp, FanDuel TV racing host. He'll be joining us at 6. We'll get his thoughts on the Kentucky Derby this year. A relatively inexperienced crowd at the Kentucky Derby this year of the three-year-olds. I know that because I read it in somebody else's analysis of this race. But 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Is the Browns quarterback plan, do you see this as forcing it or not forcing it? And one NFL reporter went off on the Browns quarterback plan. Sounds like she thinks the Browns are forcing it quarterback. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We're talking about the Browns quarterback plan and just holding it up against their own words leading into the draft, starting with Jimmy Haslam 6 or 7 weeks ago, where Jimmy said, you know, we're not going to force it at quarterback. I think it kind of depends on how you look at it. I will say one part of the quarterback plan that could age really, really poorly is just asset management. In a year's time, if none of the three young quarterbacks either play this year or look playable when they do play, we are going to say, for a team with a lot of holes, you spent 2 fifth-rounders and a third-rounder on three quarterbacks who didn't do diddly squat. I think that will be something that won't age well if none of these guys look at least decent if they do play.
And that's like the worst outcome imaginable, right? I mean, obviously there's another outcome that you have a franchise quarterback and all you spent was a third and two fifths.
Yes.
There's also another outcome where you leave this thing and maybe you spent a third and two fifths. Maybe they're not great, but one of them's your backup quarterback for that future quarterback you have. I don't think that's the end of the world. It's not great to spend a third rounder on that. But like, there's so many ways you can look at this. I look at it more like I like them taking as many darts thrown at the dartboard as you possibly can and just not laying down.
I think the Kenny Pickett thing is the thing we're going to be cursing the most in a year's time. I think if Shador or Dylan play this year,
I think the Gabriel one will be the one that we curse the most.
I think if both guys play this year and look rough, we're just going to go, well, yeah, they're rookies, and they were a third and fifth round pick.
Yeah, but like Pickett's a fifth round pick, right? In my mind, I'm attaching more to Gabriel because it was that third round pick.
Well, but at least with Gabriel, and again, I'm not defending the Gabriel pick. You know how much I hated it and still don't love it, no matter if the young man himself just personally seems like a really awesome kid. Like, I get it from why they drafted him, because he does seem like just a really nice, down-to-earth, relatable kid, much like Mason Graham, but Kenny's going to be gone in a year. Like, Kenny's a zero-sum game specific to this year. You either take the job or get the job at some point in the year and play well enough to be here next year, or you're going to be on your fourth team in 3 years. Fourth team in 4 years in next year, you know?
Yeah, no, I do know. I think even if they fail out and it's a third and two fifths and everything goes poorly, I think the knowledge acquisition that you get with the idea that Stefanski just doesn't know what he's doing, that's worth it alone, is it not? You hated how I used knowledge acquisition there.
Okay.
I could tell that you didn't like that.
Are you a thought partner?
You didn't like the knowledge acquisition
line. Be honest right now.
I don't know where it came from.
Are you a secret thought partner?
Maybe too much Stefanski and Barry over this past week. I just listened to too much of their press conferences. I don't know. I don't know where that one came from. The moment I said it, I said, oh, he's not going to like that.
It'd be great if all of a sudden, like in Scooby-Doo, Peter Lynn just ripped off the mask and he was Paul DePodesta.
What's funny?
This was when we found out. I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you darn afternoon drives.
What's funny is that it's not that you mind necessarily like you're the guy that used obfuscate as a word in
yes.
a real sentence. Like, you don't mind that. It's just the comboing up of two very, very common words thrown together in that sequence.
I mean, I think it's just
knowledge
it's
acquisition.
Actually, what I think triggers me the most is listen, guys, we look at the third and fifth round picks spent on this as being worthy of knowledge acquisition. And it's just like,
I can run a company based off knowledge acquisition.
Okay.
Acquisition.
This is a pass or fail league, bub. All right. It's not, well, you gained more information, right? Well, thank God. No NFL owner's ever been like, well, listen, we lost our ass this year, but at least we've got information.
You're not losing your ass, though. That's the difference. A third and two fifths to find out that Kevin Stefanski can't coach quarterbacks is well worth it.
But to me, it's three quarterbacks. It's three picks. Three picks all in the same draft. That is substantial.
If the difference there is it cost you a third and two fifths to find out Stefanski can't coach these guys up, so you move off of him and you get somebody else to get the keys to the Ferrari that you take in 2026, then that's worth it to me.
Now, I tend to think they're not forcing it. The Dylan Gabriel thing feels a little bit like forcing it, but I understand. If you drop each quarterback into specific buckets, you've got the veteran quarterback, the failsafe, Joe Flacco, then you've got the reclamation project and Kenny Pickett, and then you do have two quarterbacks in one bucket, but that's okay. Again, if you don't have a quarterback, take as many stabs as you can, and then it's, two quarterbacks in the rookie bucket. So I don't think it's technically forcing it, even though I still really don't care for the Dylan Gabriel pick. But Aditi Kinkabwala went on her sister station in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Aditi was at the NFL Network. She was the across the AFC North reporter.
She did Browns pregame sidelines
for
years.
She's still very much plugged in with every one of the AFC North teams, but absolutely as somebody who lives in Pittsburgh and as somebody who still does a lot of work here and there, very plugged in. Well, Aditi just went off on the Browns quarterback plan.
In walking away from a generational talent in Travis Hunter, you're saying that you're looking to 2026 for your quarterback. Why are you taking two quarterbacks in 2025? Why? If you want to take one because you should take one every year because you should have a developmental guy every year, and if one of them turns into your backup at some point, then wow, you're lucky. And if one of them turns into Tom Brady or Brock Purdy, well, you've hit the lottery. Okay. But two? When you are looking to 2026 for your franchise quarterback, then you need to build a team that is going to support who that quarterback is.
So I just don't really...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I get it. And again, it's not the best asset management when the rest of the roster has so much more work to do. I mean, she went pretty hard at this, and yeah. I'm like, it's a late third round pick and a fifth round pick.
That's my response to it. Is like, if it all doesn't work out, it's a late third, it's a fifth, it's not the end of the world. Who are you taking in that fifth round, for instance, if you didn't take Shedeur Sanders? That person's likely a special teamer. It's probably a backup player at best. Like that person's not going to be an impact player. You want to argue with me about the third round? Then maybe we can have a discussion.
And that's courtesy of 93.7, the Fan in Pittsburgh. Want to give full attribution. That was on their afternoon show yesterday.
That's right, correct? The PM team, yeah.
So
she's on there weekly.
I'll just continue to go back to the idea of, like, I don't love the asset management, but, you know, if the worst case scenario is, hey, listen, what's really important is between the three picks you pick this year and the two first rounders you have next year, at some point in those five picks, you get a franchise quarterback, right?
Yeah, and if that's the cost of getting a franchise quarterback and you really do land, and again, we don't know which one that'll end up being at this point, but if that's how you end up getting there, that's money well spent, Nick.
And you're also to the part of the point where this is the least sexy part of the plan, right? Like if next year, and this just the framing of the Travis Hunter thing, and Aditi referring to him as a generational prospect, we'll see. All right, we've hyped up this kid so much, and everybody just drank the Kool-Aid on Travis Hunter. It's like, I'm not rooting for the kid to fail, because he seems like a good kid, seems like he's all about the right things, football and fishing, two things I happen to love. I think a fair amount of
football and fishing.
At the station happen to love, like a lot of grown men.
There goes our fishing broadcast with him on the boat in Lake Erie.
All right, so Dylan Gabriel's from out west. Do you think he wants to go fishing with us? Maybe that's how we build the bridge. Now we'll have to get like a nice, you know, life jacket for him, because, you know, he's a little guy. Want to make sure he can swim.
Well, I'll bring the little.
It's not going to be Kenny Pickett. I don't want to go fishing with Kenny Pickett.
I'll bring the little apple pouches. I bring Charlotte too. It'll be a great time.
I don't think I want to go fishing with Joe Flacco. Maybe Shedeur, but he doesn't seem like a fisherman to me. He seems like he's got soft hands.
Why do you say that? Soft hands.
Soft hands. A lot of lotion.
Don't think maybe Travis Hunter taught him how to fish. Maybe they did like fishing
that's
expeditions
how they
together.
I feel like we would
why
have
not?
Heard about
they
that.
Were like best friends when they were in Colorado. Maybe they. I mean, you know,
best that, friends don't share every hobby.
No, doesn't mean you have to. But you know, if you're best friends, you probably do something similar. Maybe you take one interest in what Travis Hunter enjoys so much.
Maybe it was football. Because those are the two things.
Enough of a shared interest,
but
I guess.
It does feel like this is one way in which the Browns' hyping of Travis Hunter is somehow boomeranged back
That's
on them.
That's a great point. It's the funniest part to me is that when the moment Andrew Berry calls him Otani, that all of a sudden that hype train started, kept going, and now everyone looks at him like the Otani of football, which is insane.
And I get the intrigue, I do, but this idea of like you passed up on it to do this, it's like guys, no, they didn't pass up on him. No, they passed up on him for the chance that maybe next year the pick that they got to pass up on him helps turn into the franchise quarterback of the future. Teams do that all the damn time.
It also kind of feels like a damned if you do, damned if you don't for the Browns in this scenario. If they didn't take Shador Sanders and they'd just taken Dylan Gabriel and your three quarterbacks was Dylan Gabriel, Joe Flacco, and Kenny Pickett, we'd be arguing about the reach that they took for Dylan Gabriel and we'd be talking about how this season is going absolutely nowhere.
There wouldn't be a quarterback controversy, though.
Certainly wouldn't.
Not for fans.
No.
It'd be all Joe Flacco.
Yeah, that's 100% true. But, like, you see how much more optimism is here. But not only that, the idea that you have more of an opportunity, whether that is even Dylan Gabriel, whoever wins out that battle is going to have a chance to showcase why they won out that battle.
And here's the thing. The Browns, if you took Travis Hunter and you went into this year with those three quarterbacks, you sure as hell wouldn't have been forcing it with Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Kenny Pickett. No one could argue that you would be forcing it there, but you'd be putting all your chips in the basket of potentially just having to be bad enough to get a quarterback next year on your lonesome. You have two stabs at it next year, I'm not saying it's fait accompli that Jacksonville's just going to be trash and that's it. But I also think they've got as good a chance of being a top 10 pick again next year as they do of being a bottom 10 pick, right?
I mean, Gladstone's a wild card. I don't know what he's capable before we get this thing going on. He might trade the whole entire team for a couple more pieces. What do I know?
Also, he might be best served as the guy next to the guy making the decision and not the guy making the decision.
Yeah, well, he got to say F them picks. He got to make that. At 34 years old, he got to make that decision.
While having the number 5 pick. So much of how we define this quarterback plan and how it works out, yep, it is on Shador. Yes, yep, it is on Dylan Gabriel. Yes, it is on Kenny Pickett. But let's say this is what happened with Washington when they traded down out of the pick that was that went to New Orleans to be Ricky Williams, where the next year they had the second and third pick.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about this today. Like, it's conceivable you could have the first and second picks next year. So you would not only have the choice to draft whatever quarterback you wanted, but if you have two of the top three picks, there's going to be at least three quarterbacks taken in the top five next year. There are so many interesting quarterbacks.
It's so early to say that, though.
I'm telling you, between Klubnik, Nussmeier.
I know the names. I know the names. But like you saw, like Dane Brugler last year at this time came out with his list for quarterbacks for the upcoming year, and it was all three quarterbacks that were taken nowhere close to the first round.
Yeah,
he had Quinn Ewers on there and Shador Sanders on there.
Did he not predict that there were going to be three quarterbacks taken in the first round? He got two? Huh? Partial credit?
But the two that were taken weren't any of the names on the list that he said.
Well,
the top three.
I think that kind of spoke to what a crappy year it was for quarterbacks. I actually think it's just a great year so far.
I mean, and that's what everyone continues to kind of hammer home, but it just seems so far away.
Well, but even then, like if in a year from now you have two top three picks or two top five picks or two top 10 picks, the trade's a massive success, especially if Mason Graham is a good playable rookie, right?
Yeah.
Even if the quarterback plan goes, you know what's up. So I'm actually really surprised at the overwhelming amount of criticism for the Browns quarterback plan, as if there was a lot better they could do than Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and two mid-round quarterbacks.
Yeah, the way I look at it is at a minimum, they're at least getting Stefanski work with some quarterbacks, some young quarterbacks, and you can see what he can do there. Like, at a minimum, I think that's worth its weight in gold.
216-474-0092. Is the Browns' quarterback plan forcing it or not forcing it? Which one of those two extremes is it closer to? Aditi Kinkabwala went off yesterday on this, and then she even kind of commented on the soundness of the Pittsburgh quarterback plan.
Yeah. She liked it because just taking Will Howard meant they just took one stab at it.
Well, but what was weird about that was I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a much better quarterback this year than Joe Flacco. They're both 40, And he might be quarterback hunting again next year. And so she even mentioned
Mason Rudolph is less of a vent anything than Kenny Pickett is. They're in the same boat.
And she even mentioned, like, I don't know if she mentioned this. I think there's been a lot of speculation that Pittsburgh wants to go all in next year to draft a quarterback. And it's like, yeah, but you're going to be doing so with potentially a mid-round pick.
Which was one of the fears that we would have. If Joe Flacco came in and won enough games, you'd be picking from the mid-rounds, and that's not great.
Is the Browns quarterback plan closer to forcing it or not forcing it? And some are saying that the Falcons defensive coordinator, young kid who took the Shador Sanders phone number, made the prank, that he's getting off easy in this. There's a simple solution, according to one of our very own favorites. That's coming up in 5 minutes in Quick Hits on 92.3 The Fan. I'm actually pretty okay that they're this open about it, and the fact that, quite frankly, like I don't know you should need Darius to beat Indy, at least early in the series.
But you tied Jerome Truther's going to get your wish out there. And I hate that that war has become that. It's become Darius versus Ty Jerome in a way that makes you almost throw Ty Jerome down. And I don't love that development because I want to love Ty Jerome and I want to think he's awesome at basketball. And I think that whole conversation stinks.
I just am not going to choose between two of my favorite players. I'm just not going to do it. And eventually, 3 years down the road, maybe 2 years down the road, maybe the Cavs have to make a business decision. But like, no, I'm not doing that today. Not in the middle of the playoffs.
We have it on the list for 440, don't we? I don't know what we're going to do there.
I mean, we're going to have the conversation, going to the segment of Cavs fans.
I thought you were shutting down the convo completely. I wasn't sure.
The segment of Cavs fans who want to have a dramatic conversation like that in the midst of the playoffs made me wonder if you're just bored with like the Cavs' success.
No, they might be at this point because the Cavs have just been so dominant. There hasn't been much else to talk about. And so they're like, wait. Everyone told us we could talk Cavs basketball when the postseason happened, and we're not talking Cavs basketball, so here's this.
Let's go ahead and get to Quick Hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
Yesterday we found that Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Albrick was fined $100,000 by the NFL for leaving a tablet open, which allowed his rambunctious 21-year-old son Jax to copy down Shador Sanders' phone numbers and others' phone numbers, which led to the shaprank, which has a lot of people talking hot takes and a lot of anger, a lot of harumps out there. Well, Mary Kay Cabot was on with them on the boys earlier today and said that wouldn't fly with her.
I'm glad that they came down so hard on the Falcons and their defensive coordinator. I was trying to think yesterday, what if it was my son that did that? I honestly would be setting up some kind of a payment plan as soon as he got out of college for him to work off that $100,000.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Just no way that I would let that kid get away with not paying the bulk of that money.
All right, so what's funny about this is Jeff Albrecht makes $1.6 million a year.
Yeah, yeah. That's not the point, though.
And he has had, well, no, I'm just saying, like, $100,000 out of $1.6 million it's a hit, but it's maybe not as much of a hit. Should Jeff Albrecht make Jax repay the money to him personally?
I thought about this when I heard Mary Kay discussing it, what I would do if it was my child. The problem with the whole scenario is your kid gets your inheritance. So if you only have one child, does he have more than one kid or not? I don't know.
I think he does. I think they have like four kids.
All right, then it does matter. It matters for the other kids as far as the inheritance is concerned.
Why don't you just take it out of the inheritance?
Well, that is an option you could do for sure. Yeah. But like ultimately, the kid's going to inherit millions of dollars from his DC coordinator, the coordinator that has made millions upon millions in his NFL career. It's a weird way of saying DC coordinator, but I realized how that didn't work well. It's like saying Mac conference. It was one of those scenarios.
I was going to let you have it.
Oh, so the point is, though, like, what are you really accomplishing there? You're making him give back money at a time when he desperately needs money to start his life, start his existence.
No, that's what you
also
punish him.
But you also can't let him get away with it, right? So it's I wouldn't do it because I just feel so about kids at 21, 22 needing every dollar they possibly can get, because I know how hard it is at 21 or 22 and not having a lot of money. So I wouldn't do it because of that, but I get the sentiment behind it.
I think making him repay all the money is the ultimate hard ass move, and I just don't see it. I think there are ways to be a good parent without bankrupting your 21-year-old kid.
You know what it's like. I think it's because me and you both know what it's like at that age to be just that broke and be like, we both tried to start radio careers and be like, that's not great. If I had to spend $400 a month to my mom, it would have been brutal.
Also, like, let's run this back. It is a harmless prank. No one physically got hurt in this. Shador's feelings got hurt for about 5 minutes, and then he moved on with his life. It's ridiculous that the dad should have gotten fined $100,000 in the first place. Oh, by the way, you putting it all on your kid is a wild move, because even though I think the security breach stuff is absolute clown show, you did leave your tablet open, dog. Like, you earned about 75% of that $100,000 fine, but putting it all on your kid, even though he might be irresponsible and a little bit of a jag, not great parenting yourself.
Before we get to the next story, can I tell you, I think I solved the entire solution, and I don't know why it took me 5 days to think about it, but as Mary Kay was talking earlier today, I was like, this is the answer. Why isn't every single call just a FaceTime call? And so, like, they tell them ahead of time, you're going to get a FaceTime. And if you get a regular call, that's not good. But if you get a FaceTime, obviously, you'll know it's Stefanski, you'll know it's Barry, because they'll be on the other end of the FaceTime, and it shuts out all of this.
I like that.
Right? Yeah. Like, I couldn't find any sort of reason why that wouldn't work moving forward. NFL, you're welcome for that one.
Although we're like 3 years away from being able to call somebody successfully as somebody else because of AI. So there's that. Omaha!
One more as we continue with the story of the week. Jordan Hudson is back in the news, and I only bring this up.
You know, well, she's attractive, guys. Don't know if anybody's pointing that one out.
You seem to think so.
some days.
So we talked about Miami and the sex shop in Miami.
Yeah.
The newest development out of this is that she's amassed a $9 million real estate portfolio since dating Belichick.
Yep.
And they're like, all right, well, where did she come from? Maybe she's got money of her own. Well, they've dug deeper. Hudson was raised in Maine to parents who ran a fishing business that went bankrupt after their business was closed in 2000. Her mom then moves to Provincetown, where she now manages a sex toy shop and museum.
Okay.
So she manages a sex museum in Provincetown. I have no idea if it's any better than the Miami sex shop, but apparently, not only is it related to Jordan Hudson, they're everywhere.
So there's it's a Massachusetts?
Provincetown, yes. Have you ever been to Provincetown? I've been to Provincetown.
No, I've not.
It's a nice town. It is a...
Hey, where you got the Benoit balls?
What?
I was just trying to say it like I was from Boston.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the one I thought I could say on air.
Let me tell you a quick
Provincetown. Other things.
So Provincetown is largely known for its gay community. That's what it's like, largely known. I went with my mom, and I didn't know this at the time, right? And I go with my mom because my mom had a friend that was living in Provincetown. And it's a beautiful town. It's a very beautiful town. That's all I'm going to say about Provincetown.
Okay. I felt like that was a little bit of red herring.
Well, in my head, I realized that's about as much of the story as I need to tell, I guess. It's a beautiful town.
So my Uncle Richard.
It seems like the type of town that would have a sex toy shop and museum. It definitely does, though.
So my Uncle Richard was a gay man, and my Uncle Richard would take us to church camp every year. And on the way, though, we would stop at different stores, and he worked at Borders Books. I'd get like a couple books to read on the trip, and then, you know, he'd go to this store and we'd get our camping supplies. And so we walked into the store in Lakewood, and I was like, oh, this is different. It had kind of like a surfer vibe. And then I was like, oh, that's interesting leather stuff over there. Okay. And so I like walk up to the DVD section. I'm like, I wonder if they got Forrest Gump. And then like, I look at the front, I'm like, I've never heard of this movie. And I flipped it to the back, and it was exactly what you think it might be. It was graphic on the back. And, all of a sudden it was like when you realize where you are, and I slowly pulled back, and it was like, oh, that's a leather mask. Oh, that looks like human anatomy over there. Oh my God. And my uncle thought it was the funniest damn thing ever, and he was right, because my head was spinning. I was like, what? Where am I? And I went over to Richard. I was like, hey, buddy, are we where I think I am? He's like, yes, we are. And I was like, all right.
I'm 14. If you hit Omaha enough times, Mac, it's not going to do anything for him. Yeah. You know that, right?
Mac's hoping.
Mac's like, I'll just keep pressing the button.
Let's go with, this is, the week of all too soon 2026 mock drafts. We've seen, I think there's six different quarterbacks that I've seen mocked as first rounders next year. Although there's strong concentric circles around like three or four of them. If you had to stake claim on one college quarterback to be the number one pick by the Cleveland Browns next year in the draft, who would it be?
I guess Sellers.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I'd go with Drew Aller.
I figured that would be the case with you. I'm not as high on Drew as you are. I can't get their playoff game out of my mind.
My biggest doubt about game. Drew is his head coach. That guy, I mean, he ruined Hackenberg. He's ruined every great quarterback prospect that he's actually got there. So don't love that part of it. But I also, the kid who's just transferred to Indiana, Mendoza, I think is a really interesting prospect. Although that now feels like a football hipster thing to say.
Yeah.
And probably the third one. If I couldn't choose Aller, it'd probably be Mendoza or Klubnik.
People love Klubnik. We're watching a lot of ACC football, aren't we?
I think Klubnik is everything that people think Nussmeier is.
I saw Jordan Reed already mocked him to the Browns next year. Can I tell you what I learned yesterday that I didn't put together in my head? Do you know who the offensive coordinator of the Saints is?
Oh, I should know this. I can't think
Mac,
of it.
Do you know who the offensive coordinator of the Saints is?
Isn't it Garrett Nussmeier's dad?
That's right. Yeah. Nussmeier's dad is the offensive coordinator of the Saints. Why is not everyone in the world mocking him to the Saints? It's not LeBron playing with his father, but we've never had.
But it's a New Orleans kid going to New Orleans being coached by his dad. Yeah.
Like that connection's just going to overtake the draft conversation at some point.
Yeah.
Wild development. Didn't know that until yesterday. All right. There was a fan that fell yesterday at PNC Ballpark.
Yeah,
the update is critical condition for this fan. When you first saw it, the game completely stopped. People first thought the fan intentionally did this. They thought he just intentionally threw himself over. According to the Pittsburgh Public Safety, which includes the police and the EMS, they said that like they're treating it as it was an accident. He fell off the 21-foot-tall, you know, it's a wall that's in memory of Roberto Clemente. That's why it's 21 feet tall. He was number 21. I don't know what you do with this. I don't know what the end result is, but if you can fall over a railing and it be accidental, feels like we should either raise the railing or not put someone in that situation.
But
I don't know where I stand on it.
Or is this the first time it's happened since the park opened?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Or we just realized
that sometimes... Did we just treat it as a one-off?
Yeah, I think that's where you are. Yeah. Although I do think it was pretty despicable how people on social media... One accused other people around him of pushing him over. There were so many conspiracy theories about this.
It went right to suicide. For some reason, it went right to him unaliving himself.
Now, I was pretty like blown away that he was in critical condition, because it looks more like he just fell on his legs than anything. But yeah, it's a scary situation. But I think every time something happens, it's just it's like we're trying to parent each other. There has to be some. I don't think there has to be an outcome here. I think it just I think it's just a tragic accident. And hopefully the kid, Hopefully the person recovers.
Well, it's like every now and then you hear about someone falling off of like escalators or something like that, really high up. And I always think to myself, I'm like, that's. It seems like a really easy thing to be able to do while drinking an absolute ton.
My oldest kid, terrified of escalators. She's gotten better about
smart.
It now.
I think that's smart to be scared of escalators at that point.
Up until, like, we tried, well, this started in Charlotte, and we tried to get her to go up escalators. And, I mean, in the middle of the mall, it was just meltdown, like just panic meltdown. Elevators, not a problem. Escalators, and now, now she'll go down. She's still a little concerned about going up the escalator.
She worried about it malfunctioning?
I don't think that's it. She's just very convinced she's going to fall off of it. She's terrified of heights, just like her dad is.
To say you are, yeah.
Although I'm not afraid of escalators, so I was stymied by it for the first like 5 years. She was dealing with it. I was like, I don't understand this fear. Like it's a moving sidewalk. It's okay, but we support her, and she's doing better. She's doing better.
It's good to hear.
That's not like there's like, don't love that. Frank Schwab. NFL and sports betting for Yahoo Sports. He joins us next. We'll get his thoughts on the Browns quarterback plan. Is it forcing it or is it not forcing it? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.